is Road to the Draft with Cal Toomey and Matt Edwards.
Hello, everyone. We are back for 2019 Road to the Draft, Episode 1. Cal Toomey, how are you?
Good, thank you, Nat Edwards. How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad. Hey, how was your trip to Europe?
It was good. It feels like a long time ago now, but all went well. Yeah.
Yeah.
A few different countries, a few good mates over there, so it was good fun.
Just I got a couple of FaceTimes from you early morning in Amsterdam, perhaps.
I think it was Barcelona, actually, but anyway.
Well, there we go.
Hey, congratulations to you, because you're the host of The Kick.
Thanks.
You thought I was going to say something else, and I am. You've got some news to share for us. I'm all very proud of you, Nat Edwards, and your partner, Shay.
Thank you. We ate too much cake, and I thought it was a food baby, but actually it's a real baby.
Well,
and our guest in the studio has just got this shocked face. We probably should introduce him.
Yeah, introduce him. This is Luke Power, first guest of 2019. Thanks for having us on the show. Thanks for coming on the show, Luke.
It's my show.
Yeah. Might as well be your show. Head of the AFL Academy, of course. Welcome back. We had you on this time last year, I reckon.
Yeah, no worries. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And if you're on maternity leave, I'm happy for it to be my show.
I've already said I will be back for draft night, okay. No matter what.
No, it's very exciting. We're all very happy for you in the afl.com.au offices. But there's a big draft to talk about.
Yeah, because this is more important stuff.
We've probably been a little bit late on coming back to the show this year, just by a couple of weeks. We had a couple of things on the last couple of weeks. So we wanted to get through the NAB AFL Academy's games the past couple of weeks before chatting to Luke and starting up Road to the Draft. And Luke, all eyes are on this 2019 pool. What can you tell us about it from, I guess, the first 6 weeks or so of the season and how it's shaping up?
Firstly, I don't think it's the tallest draft of all time. There's not a lot of key position players, and there's some really good ruckmen. But there's not a lot, not great depth in terms of key position.
Okay.
But I think that it's very even and that there's going to be something there for everyone. So that's really positive. I mean, I had a chat to you earlier, but it's really hard to pin guys at this time of the year, whereas last year I think we knew, you know, that five or six of those kids, the Walshes, the Kings, Lukosius and Rankin and these guys would be at the high end of the draft, but this year it's a little bit harder to judge it.
There was like a general consensus in last year's draft, wasn't there? There was like, as we called them, the Super 7, it became that way. And then beyond that, there was probably another 10 or 12 that every club had in their top 20. So this year, as you say, it does seem well and truly open and up for grabs for the prospects too to push themselves in.
Yeah, no doubt. And I guess one of the beauties about the programs now is that we're always open and flexible around players who are developing later or performing later to be able to come into squads and be able to play in competitions and be involved in programs and competitions like the National Championship. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see over the next few weeks who puts their hand up to play.
Everyone loves a comparison. 2017 draft at 2018 and all the rest. So that will come for this year's draft pool. Do you think potentially this year's draft might run a little bit deeper talent-wise than last year?
Very even and I think very deep. Like I think there's going to be some really astute draft choices as we go through all the rounds of the draft. So really looking forward to seeing how these players develop.
Now, Cal, some of our listeners may not know that there has been sort of a change in the academy structure, so we should probably just recap that briefly. So we've got state hubs now, don't we, Luke? 5 state hubs.
Yeah, we do. So we had a centralised program for over 20 years, obviously the NAB AFL Academy, where basically we had access to 60 of the so-called best players in the country. 30 at under 18 level and 30 at under 17 level. We've basically padded that out and all the money and resources we were using on that program we put back into 5 programs. And they're the 5 teams or states that play in the national championship. So we've got Vic Country, Vic Metro, WASA, and the Allies being a hub. So we run 5 hub programs now, and basically it allows us to be able to develop more kids. So we've got a 30 in each hub, 150 all up. We think it's going to have some great impact on players that not only come into the AFL competition but also the state league comp at community level where these kids are going to be really rounded.
What's the feedback been from clubs on the new structure, and do you look to tweak anything going into year two of it? Is it more of a balance between top ages and bottom ages? Do you change that up at all?
We look to tweak all the time, and we're really flexible with how we view things. I guess when we first started talking about the hub concept, I believe that a one cap would fit all, and that you'd be able to run the same camps, same time. But probably the thing that I've learnt more than anything over the last year is that every state is so unique in what their needs are. So we need to be able to cater for those needs. WA's needs are different from SA's, and obviously the Allies have got four different states in New South Wales, Queensland, Tassie and NT who come in and play. So they've got totally different needs again.
So a couple of weeks ago, I think it was the Casey Demons who took on the All-Australian or the Australian squad, if you like, and they came together and the Australian squad actually ended up beating Casey by 23 points.
Two in a row for Luke as well.
Very good.
Beating North Melbourne VFL side last year.
Yes, so you got a good record. Tell us what that week was like for the players.
It was amazing, yeah. Great group of young men, on the field and off the field. It's really challenging when you bring a group in and they only spend 4 days together, to be able to put them on the same page and get them to play a brand of footy that sort of is consistent across the team. But they really bought in and they really engaged and sort of everything that we went through. And we're really lucky to have a really good staff. You know, we have Brad Johnson comes and supports us. We have Brent Harvey. We have Brad Johnson. Lee Brown came in. So we're really lucky to have really good coaches and good people working in our programs, and they engage really well, and I think that really reflected in the way that they played.
Mm. Now, before we get into some of the players, we are going to ask you about your views on some of these top prospects and some of the names that guys have already established, I guess, over the past 12 months. But I was there at Essendon on the first training day of the camp, and that I think this was a little bit fortuitous, but Luke obviously played for the Giants after his time at the Lions and spotted his former coach, Kevin Sheedy, in the hangar. And I was lucky enough to actually just sit in the back of the room while Sheed spoke to the group. Can you talk us through that just briefly? Because it was pretty special, wasn't it, to hear a four-time premiership coach, a legend of the game, talk to these players as if they were about to run out on the field, because it was like that, wasn't it? I remember actually as he finished, he pointed at Keziah Pickett or Cozzy and said, "I'm watching you," and Keziah wasn't really sure what to think of. But he was just typical Sheed, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess one of the things we try to impress on the players is that they need to have a balance and a really holistic view of how they see their football, and that's why we focus a lot on off-field development as much as we do on-field development. And no one sort of epitomises that more than Sheeds, the way that he reinvented himself over his career. And he knew when the time was to have fun and when the time was to be serious. And there's no greater competitor than Kevin Sheedy in football. And for him to sort of talk to the boys, one, about competing, but also about being able to enjoy yourselves and live in the moment, I think was really, really important.
I think he said, "Your attitude is a subject. You can actually work on it." Someone whose attitude is spot on already is Matt Rowe. Now, he was named best of field in that game against the Casey Demons, had 22 touches, 5 clearances, 2 goals, 2. Tell us about him as a player, because he's pretty special.
He is. I guess the thing about Matt for me is that I can't recall ever seeing him getting beaten in a one-on-one contest. Mm. And I don't think you can say that about every player, because Lee Matthews always used to say to us, if you're winning 60%, then you're going all right. But he's somewhere up around 95, 100. If I have seen it, I can't recall it. So just his ability to be able to hold his weight over the ball and then to be able to absorb pressure and work his way through tackles, because he does get a lot of attention, is as good as any young player I've seen.
We had him on the podcast last year, I think, after the TAC Cup grand final.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah,
yep.
And he won best on ground in that losing grand final. I mean, such an impressive character already, and that was last year. Is there a player that you liken him to in terms of at AFL level? Because we love those sort of comparisons, and I know you're probably not keen to, but I have heard Joel Selwood mentioned.
Yeah, I don't really do comparisons. I mean, when I was sort of in the infancy of my career, Shifty used to compare a lot of left footers to me, but he always used to say that they're about 10 centimetres taller and and kicked at 60 instead of 30. So That didn't make me feel too big. But, the comparison's a little bit difficult. I know on 360 that Joel Selwood, and those two boys did a terrific job that night, and they sort of played that on 360 during the week. But the funny thing about it was those kids were pumping each other up. They weren't pumping themselves up.
Yep.
And, those two boys, and I'm talking about Noah Anderson, they've been at school together at Carey for the last 6 years, but there's not one ounce of jealousy between the two. They're really happy for each other and they really help each other and complement each other really well.
I reckon it'd be great having, someone that close to you at school and then obviously playing at Oakley together. There must be something at the water at Oakley.
They're a pretty cool club, aren't they? Don't get Luke started on that. Where do those two get better? Because they're obviously really polished products already and they're going to step into an AFL club at the end of this year and play a lot of footy next year, I'd assume. But where do you see their improvement coming, Noah Anderson and Matty Rao?
The important thing for both of those guys is just to make sure that we're managing them the right way. Being the type of kids that they are, they'll want to please everyone, and they're in a lot of different programs. They've got school, they've got Oakley, they've obviously got their state program. They played a couple of weeks ago in that Australian game. So it's making sure that our communication between the programs is really strong so that these kids are getting to the national championship in a really good state and getting to the line in a good state. And I know that they have a bye at school in a few weeks and where they could go back and play for Oakley, but at this stage it looks like that they'll rest in that game.
Okay.
And we just need to make sure that we manage our young talent because they are pretty big years of their life where they've got a lot of conflicting commitments going on all at the same time.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and I don't reckon you're going to answer it, but who would you take at number one between those two if you had to choose?
You're right. I'm not going to answer it.
Oh, I knew it.
Yeah.
Is it hard to split them?
It's like picking between your kids.
Yeah.
I think I've said that last year, but they're very different, which is great, and that's why probably I said before, they complement each other really well as personalities and as players. And I guess it's going to come down to what the club's needs are.
Where do you think they're different as players?
Well, Matty's a little bit more your bull who does a lot of the grunt work. And Noah's a longer runner. Like Noah gets up and plays half forward, gets up the field and really tears back towards goal. So Noah's probably, I don't like to say inside and outside, but Noah's probably a little bit more outside, but he can.
Yeah.
And he's shown, especially in the last quarter of the game that we played, that he can go in and be a really good ball winner inside.
As it stands right now, Cal Toomey, who would you pick?
Rao just, but I'm a big, big fan of Noah.
Yeah.
I think what Noah does overhead, and I watched them both play on the weekend. Luke was at the game as well, Carey versus St. Kevin's, and they're both outstanding. Rao was best on ground and kicked a couple of really special goals, particularly one late. But I like what Noah does overhead generally. I think he can be a little bit stronger overhead given his size. There's a fair size differential between the two of them. So it might be one of those debates like Andy McGrath versus Tim Taranto.
Yeah.
Which one do you choose? Both very special in their own ways. I think Anderson as well is more of a threat up forward and will be more of a threat up forward at AFL level than Rowell is probably going to project to be. I think Rowell at the moment, because he's got a body size on him, will just bully kids out of the way. But when he steps up another level, is he going to be able to be as much a forward target as Anderson? Probably not. But so it's Rao just for me, but a lot of the club recruiters would say he's well and truly ahead. I think if you asked most clubs at the moment, they'd have Rao pegged at number one.
Where do you think the clubs would have Rao rated in relation to Sam Walsh?
It's an interesting question. Very different players, aren't they, Luke? Because Walsh is more outside. I think that's just commonly sort of known at the moment, given his body shape too. He's played on the wing for the Blues and had an amazing start to the season, averaging, 25, 26 touches a game. So I'm not sure if Rao's running capacity is as elite as Walsh at the same age, but what he can do inside Rao will be able to sort of complement what Walshy would do if they did have a pick early doors, but the Blues aren't going to be able to get either of those two, I wouldn't have thought.
Well, this debate is going to continue.
It will.
Matt versus Noah all year, and I don't think we're ever going to get an answer.
Blues
out of
might
Luke.
Get a priority pick.
not another one.
Hayden Young, Dandenong Stingrays, is his best position off halfback at the moment?
I think it is, yeah. I think at the moment his best spot's at halfback. I mean, you look at what Hayden's qualities are. He's a really good player. He's brave overhead. He uses the ball and makes really good decisions by foot. He knows when to defend one-on-one and when to come off his man and intercept. And I guess when you look at what his best attributes are, I'm probably more partial towards him being a halfback. He showed that he could play a little bit on ball in the early rounds of the NAB Cup, which is great. It's great to be able to show clubs that you can do a number of different things. But at the moment, I'd probably say that he's one of the form halfbackers in the draft.
Dylan Stephens has played a lot of sample league level already, which is something that the Victorian boys just don't get an opportunity to do. So there's an advantage there for him to taste that. Is there a bit of Lockie Whitfield in the way he sort of plays and presents at the moment?
Yeah, no doubt. He's a very good long runner.
Your eyes just lit up when I said Lockie Whitfield because you love Lockie.
Talk about partial.
Who doesn't love Lockie Whitfield?
He wouldn't be that happy this morning, Lockie, because he's a big Liverpool man. Very disappointed. Dylan, I reckon the senior football's been really good. I mean, he goes to Norwood and he's able to train against mature bodies. And already from looking at him for the first time in that Australian game the other day, I could tell that he was a much more composed in the contest, and his ability to be able to work his way through pressure was a lot better than what I'd seen in the past. So, we knew that he was a really good player and managed to run and outnumber and win the ball that way, but he's really starting to show that he can actually go inside and play some good footy in there too.
I know we're only 5 months into the year, but is there someone that's sort of improved a lot that you've seen sort of rise up in the draft board, so to speak, so far?
It's a good question. Probably Tom Green's the one who's come a long way. He's a big body midfield. He's about 190, but he's done a terrific job in changing his body shape and working hard on his ability to be able to cover the ground, as is Liam Delahunty. And those boys spent a fair bit of time with the Giants senior team pre-season and were able to join in at parts of their pre-season. So that's one of the advantages we have with those northern states is that we can get them in and they can get the quality resources to be able to help their development.
Great opportunity.
We'll ask you about a couple more academy and father-son prospects in a minute. Some interesting guys for me is that sort of 3 to 10 part of the draft. Who's going to push themselves in, as Nat said? Who's done the work early days to say, yep, I'm going to be one of these top picks? A couple of names that I like, and you did, before the podcast, ask me to put my 10 together. I come up with about 9 that I'm confident on. Yep. But a couple of names in that are Lockie Ash, an attacking halfback who's played some exhilarating footy. He was pretty quiet a couple of weeks ago for the Australian team, but still a very high-end prospect. And Brody Kemp is another one, a tall midfielder who we've seen do some special things, can mark above his head at 191, just fits that prototype that you'd really like.
Yeah, I saw Lockie's first two games of the year for Murray, and the way that he ran and carried the ball and took the game on was really impressive. He was probably, I hadn't seen Anderson and Rowell at that stage, but he was probably the one from the games that I'd seen, that looked like he was moving really well and could potentially step into AFL senior footy.
He's played senior footy as well at the country level, hasn't he, already? So.
In Shep? Yep. And Brody Kemp, obviously he's back at school now at Geelong Grammar. But I see him as an inside mid. I think that he's got an amazing ability to be able to move his way around contests and win the ball off the ruck's hands and feed it out to the running players. Other people see him as a defender. He's about 192, so it'll be interesting to see sort of where he's played over the next 6 months.
So here's my group of names at the moment.
Where do you see Kemp?
Yeah, I think he's in the 10 at the moment.
In midfield?
Midfield. I think with that body shape and I guess the willingness to go and get the footy, then there's a bit to work with there. So I've broken it up in a couple of
categories. I'm going to write these down so we can revisit them at some point.
It's not in any order. Not in any order. So Rowell and Anderson, top two, then a bit of daylight. The next group could be any of Stevens, Young, Ash, Kemp. I think Josh Worrell's got some ability as well as a mobile defender and utility, I guess, at the moment. Caleb Sarong's a talented small forward, sort of Robbie Gray type. Dylan Williams is an interesting one because I want to ask you about him, Luke. You've played him across half-back. He's played some great footy across half-forward and deep forward for Oakley. Also like his midfield craft and he's actually in the middle around the ball. His running needs to improve. And Emerson Jack is another name who, as a tall, talk about lack of tools in this year's draft. If he can come good, he had some bone bruising recently in his knee, but if he can come good, then there's a spot there for him early in the draft. Do any of those names look out of place right at the top for you?
No.
Don't help him out.
Not doing your job for him.
It's a good. It's a pretty talented group, though, isn't it? Those guys and Sarong's done some special stuff at, you know, TRC Cup level, school level now. Roral, we like his agility and movement.
Yeah, it is a good group. I mean, the best thing about it is you could probably add another 10 to that group and they wouldn't look out of place. So, yeah, we're fortunate to have some really good depth at the moment, but, you know, none of those names look out of place at all.
You mentioned there's not that many talls in this draft pool, but you mentioned Emerson just then. Who else is one that we should watch out for, I guess, in terms of the tall prospects?
So in terms of rucks, we've got Luke Jackson from WA, who's Australian under-17 basketballer.
Yep.
Really good follow-up. He's been doing really well. Nick Bryan's one that's Oakley Chargers, plays for St. Kevin's, who's come onto the radar this preseason. His early form was really, really good, very good on the ground, okay, and can flick the ball out to his runners. Jack Bell is one who played in the Futures game last year, who's a 202, who's been doing really well. So there's quite a few ruckmen at the moment who are showing a little bit. Key position, Emerson Jekka played in the game the other day and unfortunately hurt his knee. He might be out for six or seven weeks, unfortunately.
So he's most likely to miss the championships then?
Well, I think it'll be touch and go at the moment, so probably working through that. The issue with these type of injuries is sometimes there's no set return date, so it can be a little bit confusing, but
there were some hopes that it'd only be a couple of weeks originally,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah. So it's, you know, you need the swelling to settle down and the bruising and that sort of stuff. So I'll let the doctors take care of that. I certainly don't have a medical degree. Fisher McAsee, whose dad Chris works here.
He does. He played a game for St Kilda, I believe.
Yeah, but he was our only real recognised defender in terms of big defenders against Casey last week, and he did really well, really brave overhead and happy to go back with a flight and take body and ball when he needs to. Josh Worrell also he's a running 195, but you know, the thing that I like about Josh is he has the ability to be able to play on talls or smalls.
That's me.
Doesn't have to be.
I was just falling asleep again.
That's all right. We'll excuse you of that. Hey, some academy prospects. So you mentioned Tom Graham before and Liam Delahunty, assigned to the Giants and spent some time up there. Will Martin from Brisbane has improved. I think probably been one of the players who has shown that level of improvement from last year to this year. And also Connor Butterick from Gold Coast Academy. The Gold Coast Suns Academy obviously winning the Academy Series or the Division 2 championships over the weekend, so pretty good signs for them too.
Yeah, it's been terrific to see those kids play against NAB Cup players or NAB League players and be able to compare apples and apples and give them an opportunity to get out there and match it, you know, week to week against Victoria's best players. So that's, I think it's been a really good concept. And those guys have done really well. I mean, Will's an absolute credit to himself. I mean, no one works harder on their football than Will Martin, so He's just kept turning up and kept working and he's starting to see a little bit of the rewards for it. So he's been doing really well. Connor Butterick's one that I really like as a little man. Interesting to see. He's played forward and mid in the Academy Series mainly. Played a little bit back on the weekend, but at this stage I'm sort of tossing up whether to chuck him to halfback for the Allies, where he played against Casey and played on Jeffy Garlett in the first half and did reasonably well in that.
We had a lot of tweets about father-sons, and Port Adelaide fans want to know, Jackson Mead, how's he tracking and where does he fit in?
Yeah, I thought he was really good. Some of his contested work, he's a tough boy, Jackson. So he's at Woodville West Torrens. He's played a few games in the reserves there this year. He goes to Henley High School in SA. There's even talk, his older brother plays for the Port Magpies in the Sandful, and there's talk that as the season goes after national champs, maybe he'll go back and he'll play a few games with his brother there, which will be senior football.
Would you like to see him do that?
So there are a few options. I think it'll be good for him. Yeah. I'm a big fan. I really like his attitude. I think he's a really good young leader. And as you know, clubs are as big on character as any attribute. I'm really impressed by it.
During that sort of week where the Academy boys and the Australian boys came into camp, I interviewed about 10 or 11 of them. I can't remember how many exactly. And he was one of the standouts, actually. He was probably one
really?
He was a ripping kid, looks you in the eye, makes great conversation. Those little things stand out. I must say, most of the kids that get to this point of their footy journey are good at that because they've been through the academy process the past couple of years. They've sort of got to know how to chat to people they might not know that well, and obviously through your coaching, and something that you guys have always sort of stressed as part of that program is to be courteous, be polite and be friendly. But he was one who stood out on that. So Jackson, mate, I think Port Adelaide supporters will be really interested in watching him, how he goes this year.
What did I say when I introduced you? Give him a bit, but don't give him too much.
Yeah, thanks for that. Give me everything. Some West Australian prospects. Devon Robinson was hurt, so I didn't play in that game. You mentioned Luke Jackson before. Jeremy Sharp's another one. Yeah. Tell us about sort of how they're tracking over there.
So Sharp was an All-Australian at the 18s Championships last year as an under-17. Really good running player, outside at the moment, but carries the ball and has got the athletic attributes to, you know, to play high level of footy. I don't want to pin AFL footy on anyone, but and Dev is an aggressive inside midfielder who's the nephew of Darren Glass,
right?
Who obviously a West Coast Eagles premiership player, champion, and now an assistant coach at Hawthorn.
That's correct.
So he's, I think that's the only thing that you could be if you were born into that family, tough. And Dev's an absolute ripper. He's a really good young leader in that WA program, and it was a bit disappointing that he didn't come down for that game because I'm sure he would have crashed into a lot of bodies really early for us.
We're keeping an eye on the under-17s as well, and they played on Anzac Day, the under-17s Australian side up against the New Zealand Hawks. Tell us about that group and, I guess, who stood out, because there is one name that I keep seeing that crops up all the time in Elijah Hollands.
Yeah, so he's the son of Ben Hollands, who played 8 games for Richmond, also spent some time on Sydney's list. Yeah, he's half forward flank. We played him a bit in the middle, but almost every game that I've seen him play, he's had 5 or 6 shots on goal. I think he had 7 in the under 17 game. So he's got a knack to be able to pop up and have shots and be really influential on attack. He's about 190, so he can mark it overhead, and he's a bit of a dual threat because he can get it on the ground and also win it in the air, which makes him a pretty hard prospect to play on.
Good Caulfield boy as well. Jamara Ugle-Hayden is another one.
How Caulfield going?
They're going okay.
We beat their girls' team, by the way. The old Campbell Grammarians beat the old Caulfield.
That's good to know.
Women's side.
This Caulfield, no one cares about Caulfield. Jamara Ugle-Hayden is tied to the Bulldogs Next Generation Academy at the moment, unless anything changes. There's also a bit of talk about what's happening with all the NGA stuff, but that'll get sorted in the next couple of months. But he's a very talented player, tall, athletic, playing for Oakley Chargers now as well, a bit of a shift there. So what can you tell us about him as a player?
Apparently I'm not allowed to pump him up.
Oh, really?
Well, my brother's a list manager at the Western Bulldogs.
It's so too late, Sam.
I'm not allowed to talk too much about him. Jamara, the thing that I was impressed with Jamara, and he didn't have the best game when he came in to play for us, but I was really impressed by his attitude and willingness to learn and engage. And I didn't know him. It was the first time I met him. But I was really, really impressed by the way that he fitted into the group and then really wanted to learn and improve his footy. Some of the games I've seen him play, you know, he marks it really well overhead and he's a real threat going forward. I heard he's also played some really good school football as a chop-out defender who can intercept. So I'm really looking forward to having a look at his development over the next couple of years.
He's got this weird sort of frame, doesn't he? I can't really describe a player that he plays like, but it'd be really interesting to follow him next year. Sydney won't be too busy on the academy front this year, Nat, but
next year?
It's only been a year gap, so they've obviously had Mills and Heaney and Blakey, and they're all stars.
I think they've done pretty well for
themselves. Pretty well. They might have a pick to choose just out of the open draft this year, a very early one. Two exciting academy prospects next year, though, Braden Campbell and Errol Goulden. Which is a great name.
Which one?
Era.
Both. Errol.
No, they're
both of them.
Yeah, they're both little crackers. Campbell. I think he went and had a week. Spent a week training with the Swans in the preseason. The comments were that he was almost the best kick on their list. really powerful left foot. He's powerful, strong in the contest. And you know, when he gets it with time and space, he's a really penetrating player. Can mark it overhead for a guy who
isn't the tallest, about 182 or 3, but he can actually get vertical too. And Errol Goulden just keeps getting to contests. He's one of those guys, you know, a little bit similar to I guess your Sam Walshes, who they just turn up to contest after contest and accumulate the ball that way, and you come off the ground thinking, geez, Errol's had about 35 today. But yeah, that's sort of the basis of Errol's game, and really looking forward to looking at those two over the next couple of years, and hopefully they can even contribute during the Allies campaign.
And Sam Walsh's brother Henry is in this pack as well. He's
a beauty. He's a little bit more interested in farming and cows at the moment than Sam was about footy. But he's a river. I mean, it's just, you know, if there was any case study to say that you just need to, you know, treat people individually, and especially young players, and take them for what they are individually. You know,
this is
they're such different kids. I mean, to start with, Henry's 202 centimetres. But we're really happy with the way he's developing. You know, he's really focusing on his follow up and his mark and craft and ruck work. I reckon over the next couple of years we're going to see some really big gains in his development. I reckon he's going to become a really sought after ruckman.
Now, there are some other familiar names. You won't go through them all, but Oliver Henry is Jack Henry's brother. He played as well. Taj Schofield is eligible for father-son at Port Adelaide. Luke Edwards, Adelaide's father-son prospect, Tyson's son as well. So some familiar names there. Before we let you go, Luke, interested in this year's draft, one more on that crop. Who can you see rising up? I know it's a question without notice, but who's someone that you can sort of see from outside this group? Maybe some guys that you're looking at.
The bolter.
Maybe the bolter. Someone who can sort of, over the next championships period or late in the year, you can see enough over the first sort of six rounds of the season to say, I can see him pushing up a little bit. Because for me, someone who you could have considered in this group was Thompson Dow.
Yeah, he's probably the one I was going to say. Obviously, yeah. Paddy Dow's brother. I might just claim that one.
That's all right, go for it. Oh, he's a very good player.
Have you got any others?
I'm still sort of getting my head around Josh Honey as a prospect. I think he's got some ability, so it'd be interesting to see where he fits in.
Thompson was definitely one that we discussed when we were talking about that team. Probably had a lot of players who were in a similar position to him, but he shows similar qualities to Paddy. He has that ability to be able to break from contested situations, which not a lot of players in AFL footy can do. So it's quite a sought after commodity.
Well, Luke, we appreciate you coming on the show and hanging out with us in the podcast studio today, and I'm sure we'll get you back on very soon.
You said that last year and I didn't get back on again.
Did we get your brother on instead? Yes. That's what happened.
Well, Sam will come on again. I'm sure Sam will listen to this show. So
maybe
the request that we put out soon.
The two brothers in together.
Yeah, that'd be good.
We need another mic.
We do have four mics, so we can make that happen.
Yeah, I reckon that'd be fun. Cal, before we go, Song of the Week?
Oh, I wasn't sure if I was going to bring Song of the Week back this year.
Oh, that's a revelation. We need to have a production meeting.
Well, let's discuss this after the show.
Okay, well, no Song of the Week. Sorry to disappoint everyone, but thank you for tuning in to the first episode.
No, it'd be Billie Eilish, Bad Guy.
Ugh, of course. But
that's
it.
I think that might be the it for Song of the Week. So let's not make that Song of the Year.
Okay, Song of the Year, RIP Song of the Week. We'll come up with some other kind of segment that you'll enjoy.
It's good to be back, though.
It is great to be back.
We'll be back every week.
Please send us your Twitter questions.
Yes.
Cal loves them, and we will get back to answering as many of those as we can from next week onwards. In the meantime, enjoy.